Davis. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The Justice Department has charged three men in an alleged Iran-funded plot to kill President-elect Trump. The FBI stopped it. ABC's Aaron Katursky says the men were hired by someone in prison who ran a criminal network. One suspect remains at large.
This guy, according to the complaint, talked five different times about this with the FBI from Tehran. The two operatives are in the United States. They're under arrest, but this Farhad Shakiri is in Tehran and on the phone with the FBI talking about this alleged plot voluntarily, the complaint says, and dropping dimes on his handlers at the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Fire crews in Southern California getting a break today from those fierce Santa Ana winds that fueled the explosive mountain fire this week. Over 200 structures have been destroyed. The Dutch prime minister and Israel's prime minister denouncing last night's anti-Semitic attack targeting Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Rockwell Automation Incorporated Thursday reported fiscal fourth quarter profit of $239.1 million. The Milwaukee-based company said it had net income of $2.09 per share. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs came to $2.47 per share. The results surpassed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of eight analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $2.40 per share. The industrial equipment and software maker posted revenue of $2.04 billion in the period, which fell short of street forecast. Six analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $2.07 billion. For the year, the company reported profit of $952.5 million, or $8.28 per share. Revenue was reported as $8.26 billion. Rockwell Automation expects full-year earnings in the range of $8.60 to $9.80 per share. Multinational brewer Molson Coors will close the Leinenkugel's brewery in Chippewa Falls. The move will end more than 150 years of brewing in the northwestern Wisconsin city where Leine's was born. Molson Coors will close the Chippewa Falls brewery and Leinenkugel's 10th Street brewery in Milwaukee effective January 17th, according to a company statement. Molson Coors Chief Supply Chain Officer Brian Earhart said the closures are part of a plan to consolidate operations at the main Milwaukee brewery. More than 50 workers are expected to lose jobs in Chippewa Falls, although as of Wednesday, Molson Coors had yet to file a layoff notice with the State Department of Workforce Development. In the statement, Earhart said the consolidation plan comes after the company finished a large contract brewing agreement. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks snapped a six-game losing streak with a 123-100 win over the Jazz. How bad did the Bucks need this victory at home over a young 1-6 Utah Jazz team? Damian Lillard.
I think we needed it bad, desperately. You know, this is a team that came in with the same record as us, a struggling team, a much younger team than us. They coming on our home floor, so, you know, it was important for us to not only get off that six-game losing streak and feel something good, but going into this next stretch of games, you know, I think it was important for us to get back in the win column.
The Bucks are in Madison Square Garden tonight against the New York Knicks. College hoops, a 79-67 win for Wisconsin over the Montana State Bobcats. Head coach Greg Gard.
A good win against a good team that's experienced. You could really tell the maturity of the older guys for them on the floor. Anytime we made a mistake on a screen, it was a three in the first half. Those things will help us.
That's the Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we soar to the upper 50s. Tomorrow, we'll be waking up to partly sunny skies with clouds increasing as shots of spotty light showers roll in by the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Civic Media's own Earl Ingram Jr. will join me. We'll talk about what comes next in the Trump administration. Plus, is Donald Trump our retribution or our reckoning? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. The phone numbers are 855-752-4842. If you want to join the conversation, that's 855-75-CIVIC. Maggie's off today. I'm joined by Angela Lang, who's my usual co-guest host when I sub in here for Maggie. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and one of the leaders of the progressive movement in Wisconsin, frankly. So thanks for being with me, Angela. Yeah, it's been a hard week, so I'm glad we got you. Do we have your vocal there?
Yep, that was me. That was my end. I don't know how to use stuff. Happy to always be here. Every time you call, I'm like, yes, indeed, pending my schedule. I love to share space with you, especially now, too.
Yeah, I think it's really important to hear your perspective on a day like today. We've got a couple callers I wanted to get to. We've got Matt from Middleton. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, and bless you guys for what you do here at Civic Media. We're going to need you more than ever. I'm glad you mentioned Timothy Snyder. He's a main voice for Ukraine and fighting tyranny. He's been doing it for years, and he's brilliant. But I just want to tell you, we are in for a real hard time, and I'm not losing my anger. My anger fuels me, and I'm very angry. I'm angry at these conservative voters that do this mental jiu-jitsu all the time, trying to placate and pretend that they are not supporting a fascist movement, because that's what this is. You look up the definition, General Milley hit the nail on the head. This is fascism. And it's going to be violent. We're already seeing violence spread in our communities where people feel free to say whatever they want and be terrible to one another. And that's what fascism does. And we need to be ready for this. And we need to branch out and support each other to fight against this stuff. And if you see it happening in the street, don't be silent, because that's what they want us to do. Thank you, guys, and God bless.
Oh, great call.
Thanks for that.
Matt from Middleton, you know, he's right. There is this violence that's coming, and Fox is just, I saw something on Fox today that I almost couldn't believe, and that is that there were two of their announcers were talking about Jack Smith should get the death penalty. It's just like, jeez, really? That's where we're at? And that is just justifying and paving the way for, more violence to come, that kind of violent rhetoric. I want to dig into a little bit of what Matt said, being angry at conservative voters. I get that. I mean, I know, I do think we need to talk to some people who voted for Trump who aren't flaming racists or sexists, who don't have Confederate flags flying in their yard and don't have really nasty bumper stickers and things like that. And I know I'm friends with some folks. I play a lot of cards. I play a lot of poker. And I know some decent folks who voted for Trump. I mean, I have to admit, you know, half the state voted for Trump, you know, half the country voted for Trump. They're not all incorrigible racists and sexists. There are a chunk that are incorrigible racists and sexists. There is a fascist movement of 10, 15, 20% of this country. They're not only Donald Trump cultists, they're fascists. They don't believe in democracy.
Yep.
We got to recognize that. Those aren't the folks we should waste a single moment trying to convince, because they're not going to come around anytime soon. But we do need to listen at first. It's always good to listen at first to people who voted for Trump, who we otherwise know as decent people until they prove otherwise, other than their voting, and try to figure out where they were coming from and how to, you know, bring these folks around. I do think that's part of what we got to do. So thanks, Matt from Middleton. We got Tom from Jackson on the phone. We'll take Tom's call, and then we're going to hear from Representative Francesca Hong, one of my favorites in the legislature. Tom, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, hi, Matt. I'm glad to hear you're taking the spot today. And I hope you don't cut me off, but one thing I've not been hearing as to one of the main reasons, may not be the main reason, but it was certainly one of the main reasons in Kamala's presidential
Kamala's.
Run. And that is, I'm sorry, Kamala.
Kamala.
That is the...
You still there, Tom? Yeah. Are you still there? Talk to me.
Yes. Okay. That is abortion. And what I mean by that is that the Democrats are giving up something that they don't need to give up. And the rural people in particular think that Democrats are evil and mean and cruel by being for abortion. And I think the Democrats have to finally realize they need to come to a middle spot and become pro-life. And I don't mean the pro-life that the right is talking about, meaning total ban. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, the three main top issues in that are, you know, rape, incest, and the life of the mother. That should always be on the table and to push for. But I think the left needs to instead talk about adoption and being pro-life, and they need to take away that from the right, that winning hand, especially in rural white countryside. I know that. I live in this area. I mean, these people, their goal is to stop abortion, and that's the key reason why these hard right-winger nutbags are winning, because I know many good right-wing people out here. It's the top of mind, and it has been for years, but it's as time goes by, it's not getting less. It's getting stronger.
Okay, I hear you, Tom.
Stronger. Now, finally, you can see it. So I think the left needs to modulate their view on that to win.
I got you, Tom. Thanks for the call. Tom from Jackson. You know, go ahead, Angela.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting. One thing that I always found fascinating is like the term pro-life, because it implies the other side isn't, right? And so like there's that, but also you look at the Republican Party that claims to be pro-life, quite frankly, does not care about life after birth. You do not care about Black Lives Matter. You do not care to make sure that there is support for parents raising children. And so I find it interesting that people use the term pro-life, but then after a baby is born, depending on what they look like, what zip code they're in, where is that same energy for being pro-life actually during life after the baby is born, right? And so I always find it very fascinating that people use that term. And I don't think that Democrats should compromise on their stance of abortion. I think there is something about being able to break down the pro-life language that folks are using. Because when you look at it, if there's two parties that are fighting for lives and supporting lives and making sure people have thriving lives and thriving communities and healthy communities, that's only the Democrats. And so I think it's very contradictory.
Yeah, I also think Tom's wrong. I appreciate the call and the perspective, but you know, I think a majority of Americans are favor abortion rights, and that's not why Kamala Harris lost, because you see the referendums did better than Kamala Harris even. So I think we should move on to Representative Francesca Hong. Do we have the representative here on the stream? Hey, Representative Hong, how are you doing today? I'm sorry, we can't hear your voice. Yeah, we'll try to get the vocals to work. I can see your face on the screen. You know, Representative Hong is one of the most progressive members of the state assembly. Last time we talked, she was up north working on some races. How are you feeling today, Rep Hong?
I am doing okay. Thanks for asking, Matt. How are you doing? Hi, Angela.
Hey, Fran.
Yeah, we're all just trying to process right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we should be doing before we do anything else. Just, you know, process politically, process emotionally, regroup, regather, pause, reflect, comfort. That's the mood I'm in right now. Tell me what your take on the elections were. Let's start with the national, Rep Hong.
I think there were some unforced errors, but it's important to name the context of there was a shorter amount of time with a new candidate to build a campaign. There was a lot of noise around the previous candidate, the president, that momentum did not bode well for Democrats. But I think in the end, the problem that has been lingering for Democrats since probably 2002, and in one thing that they've never really addressed in a way comprehensively, is the elitism that remains in the party that makes it harder and harder for us to be a home for working class families. And I think when you have the disparity in low to no income families and the wealthiest families and the wealthy few, and you've got both of those categories voting for Republicans, we have a serious issue as a party claiming to be big tent, but really only being actually, I would say, more exclusive. And so if you're the party that's more exclusive, the math is going to math and you're not going to get as many votes.
Mm-hmm. Right now, there's kind of the opposite criticism, and this happens every time Democrats lose. When they're not blaming, you know, black folks for not showing up, they're blaming the left for moving the party too far to the left. I saw this ridiculous anonymous Democrat quoted somewhere today who said, AOC is toxic to the Democratic brand with swing voters, and said her primetime DNC speaking slot played directly into the narratives that lost the election. Now it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's fault that we lost the election. I mean, to me, this is just so far from being recognizing what happened. I mean, Bernie Sanders I saw him talk the morning of the election saying, look, no matter who wins this election, Democrats have to start talking to working people. This is before MSNBC had already coronated Kamala Harris. They thought she was going to win. And Bernie came on and said, look, doesn't matter who wins, we got to start talking to working class people. And it turns out Democrats weren't talking to working class people, weren't understanding the pain of a majority of Americans who have problems paying rent because rent's gone up so high or car insurance has gone up so high. I mean, it's outrageous that people are spending, you know, 30, 40, 50% of their income on rent. And, you know, Kamala Harris came to that late, but we'll talk about that a little more after the break. On the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Maggie Dawn. I've got a great group with us here, so join the conversation.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE.
I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy. Oh, no, oh. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot no deputy.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by my guest host, Angela Lang. She's with me whenever I sub in here, if she's free, and she was kind enough to join today. And we're also joined by Rep. Francesca Hong. No, I can't resist, Rep. Hong, because, you know, I used to coach soccer. I played tennis. I hate unforced errors in tennis. I used to play basketball. I hate unforced errors in basketball. So I got to ask you what the unforced errors were.
I think there was a missed opportunity to engage the multiple coalitions, the Asian American caucuses or coalitions, the Black coalitions, the Latino coalition, and work towards building solidarity for those three by resourcing them more. I think I heard later on that folks were getting literature or resources that weren't in different languages till later or till it was too late. I think, you know, there was an opportunity to show that Democrats are fighting for us, that Democrats are one of us. And one of the issues that we constantly run into that I even find myself doing is that we lecture and shame before we actively listen and affirm. And when people are in pain, whether it's not, you know, with rising costs and mental health issues and, you know, folks are struggling, it's hard for them to hear from someone who is doing really well that they're going to make their lives better. And we didn't really articulate the policies clearly. I think we should have been talking about transformative policies, about healthcare, about student loan debt, about housing. And instead, we were parading around war criminals or daughters of war criminals and talking about becoming a bigger tent by going further right. And last I checked, folks who were Republicans oftentimes still vote Republican. And I think centering them as opposed to the folks who could tell us, you know, what is it about your economy? I want to know about your economy. You know, this isn't a conversation about the economy. What is your economy right now? And having trusted messengers to actually carry that and bring that back to a party. I wish we had done a lot more. I think we still are the party of working families, but we have a lot more to do in terms of making sure that we are each tailoring that message to the diverse group of working families that is who makes this country work.
You know, I want to pick up on 2 points you made there, Representative Francesca Hong. The first one is Liz Cheney. My son, my eldest son, kept telling me this is a mistake. You know, going to Liz Cheney and invoking Dick Cheney is not going to help you turn out the vote. It's not going to help you turn out the vote in the Democratic and progressive base. That's for damn sure. And how many, you know, Republicans are going to come around who haven't already come around when they watch Liz Cheney, you know, run the hearings and say what a threat that Donald Trump was back then. That you already got those folks, and she's not going to get you many more.
Who wasn't even liked by Republicans. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's going to work. I mean, that's a strategy. I don't know if there's data behind the strategy, but it turned out it didn't work. And the other thing that you said that I think was so important, Representative Hong, is, you know, what economy are we talking about? I mean, when, you know, Biden talks about how great the economy is, and when Biden used the term Bidenomics, and they had Kamala Harris use the term too, which was deadly, you know, maybe the GDP is good. Maybe we're doing better than the Western European countries. But for the folks who can't pay their rent and for folks whose real income has gone down, that was not comforting. And I think that was just a total lack of awareness by folks who are doing well, that there are folks out there who aren't doing well, and citing macroeconomic statistics is not going to make them feel any better toward the end of the month when they're scrounging.
I think what's interesting is, and I had this conversation with folks, and I raised this as a flag, is the way we talk about the economy, especially when people are like, the job numbers, or we have these new things that like are all great. But what happens if you don't feel reflected in those numbers, in that success of those numbers? You feel left out. You don't feel like you're being engaged. But then also just like the language we use. And I remember talking about this in the governor's race. An ambassador of ours had brought this up years ago, is that when people talk about the middle class, there are some people that don't even identify with even being in the working class or in the middle class. They're like, I'm low income. I don't even, middle is what I'm aspiring to be. So when people are talking about rebuilding the middle class, there are some folks I've talked to that don't even think that they're talking to them. And I think that's, I think campaigns mean well when they talk about the middle class. But if people are really struggling, middle class is a dream for them. They're like, I'm poor. I'm, you know, lower class even. And I think I saw a shift in how she talked about an opportunity economy, which I thought was helpful. But was that shift too late? Did people still feel that? Did they feel reflected in the phrase opportunity economy versus, you know, uplifting the middle class type of messages that we always hear?
And that was the predominant message from her convention speech, uplifting the middle class, that the middle class is the, you know, the basis of our economy for then. So as you pointed out, Angela Lang, anyone who doesn't see them in the middle class doesn't know whether where they fit in.
Opportunity doesn't speak to the urgency of the struggle of folks right now. You know, opportunity doesn't mean that I'm going to have some sort of immediate relief. And the tough thing for me is I was thinking about the child tax credit and how that did provide immediate relief, but that policy in itself still isn't associated enough with Democrats being the party that is fighting for us. So even when we have these policies, it's really hard for us to bring more folks in and build trust with working families. And I think a lot of it has to do exactly as Angela was talking about, the resonating message, the words, you know, I think we should absolutely have been talking more about rising costs. I don't think we talked enough about how low gas prices were under a Biden administration. And I wish we'd done a lot better job about public education. And there was no education policy that folks were talking about. And we know that strong public schools are strong communities. And this is an issue that has bipartisan support. And you saw it in referendums across the state where communities were fighting for their public schools.
Rep Hong, can you join us after the break, or do you have to go?
I will absolutely join you after the break.
Oh, that's terrific. That's Rep Hong. We are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Thank you for listening to Maggie and the Millionaires on this Civic Media station. The Patriotic Millionaires are financial supporters through paid advertising on some Civic Media stations.
the country, rural community issues tend to get pushed to the side by the state. That is no different here in Wisconsin. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Travis Tranel, a dairy farmer from southwest Wisconsin, explains some of the land use issues that are taking place throughout the rural Wisconsin areas.
Farming is part of our heritage, and we don't want people moving from Illinois into Wisconsin and telling us how we can or cannot farm. But what people that have lived here for generations are concerned about is in 2009, took away all local control when it comes to siting energy projects that are over 100 megawatts. And that is something that I think we need to take a serious look at, because I heard over and over and over again, people in rural Wisconsin do not want to look at 1,000-acre solar farms, and they don't want windmills that are 600 feet tall out their front window. And I don't think that's too much to ask. So that's certainly something we can look at.
Tranel says he is hoping to be able to get the land use projects controlled by local government instead of the state government. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the closing markets right after this.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
What makes Dairyland seed corn different? The right stuff. More options to help you fight corn rootworm pests. A variety of hybrids with an advanced combination of above-ground pest control and herbicide tolerance. And a ton of other options supported by direct access to agronomy experts who will help you get the most out of the ideal seed for your Midwestern acres. The right corn for you and the right people by your side. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedCorn.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and now let's take a look at those closing markets from Chicago. The grain markets continue to show some gains today as December corn is up 3.5 at 431. January soybeans closed out up 4 at 1030 and a quarter. November soybeans for 2025 closed up 3 and 3 quarters at 1052 and a half. December wheat is up 1 at 572 and a half. July wheat is down a half at 605. Unfortunately, dairy did not follow these same trends as December class 3 milk contracts are down 18 cents at 1905 a hundred weight, and January contracts are down 16 cents at 1913 a hundred weight. Barrels of cheese close out the day down 3.25 at 176 and 3 quarters, and 40-pound blocks also close down 3 at 172. Butter finished the day down 1.25 at 265. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A picture-perfect day today with sunny skies and above-average highs as we soar to the upper 50s. Tomorrow, we'll be waking up to partly sunny skies with clouds increasing as shots of spotty light showers roll in by the evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 61.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. Man, if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, and I'm joined by my usual subbing co-host, Angela Lang of Block, and Representative Francesca Hong, who represents the Madison area in the State Assembly. Rep Hong, I want to ask you what advice you're giving to your constituents or your young staff members this week, or what advice you have for our listeners who are in distress or in despair today.
I'm reminding folks that however you are feeling, however much you may be not feeling, I know I'm in my very much dazed and numb phase, is valid. And, you know, that there is always a journey that we can take to get to hope. But let's take the pressure off ourselves to hope in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I know that when it comes to movement building, we've already built so much. And I know with this looming new administration, there are going to be people who join our movement every single day. And so that means more people to tap in when you have to tap out. But I truly believe that systemic change, historic moments of crises, people going through the worst struggles. We always have folks, whether it's artists or poets, people who've been able to get us through while others are working in many other lanes. So I think right now that's what I'm reminding folks of.
You know, I love the invocation of the poets. We played Wendell Berry a little earlier. I want to see if we can play this very famous poem, the last stanza of a very famous poem by W.H. Auden, the British poet, who wrote a poem called September 1st, 1939, the day the Nazis attacked Poland. Here's the last stanza. Give a listen
to this. September 1st, 1939, by W.H. Auden. I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street, uncertain and afraid, as the clever hopes expire of a low, dishonest decade. Waves of anger and fear circulate over the bright and darkened lands of the earth, obsessing our private lives. The unmentionable odor of death offends the September night. Accurate scholarship can unearth a whole offense from Luther unto now that has driven a culture mad. Find what occurred at Linz, what huge imago made a psychopathic god.
I did want to hear his voice, but I also wanted to get to this. Actually, I wanted this last stanza, which I'll read my own self. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. And then he concludes with this incredible last line, last stanza. May I compose like them of Eros and of dust, and catch this, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. I just think that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do look at a time like this too. Artists, musicians, poets, for solace, for perspective, for inspiration. But one of the things I like about that last line, other than it's poetry, is the importance of affirmation. What do we affirm in difficult times?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, that gets crucial. And so, you know, I look around and I start close to home, you know. We affirm love, family, friends. You know, that's what we got. And it's beautiful. But then, you know, you look politically. And, you know, I believe in solidarity. Solidarity is crucial. And then the things we're for. We're for kindness. We're for generosity. We're for justice. We're for equality. We're for freedom. We're for peace. We're for democracy. We're from Mother Nature, who's under siege right now. And so, as dark as it is, you know, I just think by dealing with our emotions, and it is an emotional time. And sorry to bring my emotions to the table here, but it is what it is. That we need to first be gentle with each other and ourselves, be gentle with our loved ones, recognize where we're at, and we'll go forward. We'll get through this. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be especially hard on people who are not white, on people who are trans, on people who are undocumented. And Lord knows, you know, how far the fascists are going to go. But the other thing to remember is fascists never survive in power very long. It's a fact. I mean, fascism, I also think we should recognize that capitalism's devouring our democracy. And fascism is an effect of a product. And why? It lets fascism happen because capitalism doesn't deliver the goods. It no longer delivers the goods to the majority of the people in this country. They are suffering. That's what we saw on Election Day. People suffering economically and wanting a change so that their material conditions are better. And capitalism won't provide it. And the oligarchs aren't going to provide it either. And so that's one reason capitalism devours democracy. The other is the rich buy the political system. I mean, here we have Elon Musk throwing ungodly amounts of money at it. We've seen it here in Wisconsin with the richest people in Wisconsin and the Elons and the folks down in Beloit, Diane Hendricks throwing so much money, polluting. You know, they can buy our politicians. They, you know, they try to buy our laws. So we see that happening. And so we are seeing fascism come out of capitalism and the crisis of capitalism. That at the macro level is where we're at. And so we need to, you know, talk about a better system here, a fairer system than what we got than this. And this isn't advanced industrial I mean, it is advanced, but it is also cowboy capitalism, too, at the same time. And so, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And those are big forces. Kamala Harris couldn't, even if she had no unforced errors, may not have been able to deal with these factors. And so we got to address them. Bernie addresses them. AOC addresses them. Francesca Hong addresses them. Angela Lang addresses them. But, you know, we all got to do that. Francesca Hong, I want you to talk about a happier thing, and that is we gained some ground in the state legislature. Tell us how that happened and what that means.
We've got 45 Democrats elected to the state assembly, and we picked up 4 seats in the state Senate, which was all of the targeted races. And I think that this means locally, especially, people are beginning to gain trust in their representatives and that they want deliverables, and Democrats, our assembly candidates, talked about that. We talked about how it's at the state legislature where there's a $4 billion surplus and we can invest back in our communities to make sure cities and townships have what they need to provide the services that Wisconsinites deserve. We talked about protecting abortion rights and reproductive freedom and how we can put that into our state constitution. We talked about investing in public schools and making sure we're bringing 90% back to special education. I mean, these are things that matter to Wisconsinites that we said we can do in the state legislature when we have the majority. And folks are excited about that because we're saying we're fighting for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. The people of Wisconsin are for public schools. They demonstrated that overwhelmingly passing the vast majority of the referendums that were put before them, even though it meant that their taxes were going to go up a little bit.
And I think what's important for Democrats to realize here is that we're able to name the villain and talk about a deliverable when we talk about public schools. It was Republicans who have been defunding public education for the last 13 years, both at K-12 and for our universities. We are feeling the consequences of that. It is destroying communities and impacting our kids. And so folks across the country and in Wisconsin, too, are fighting back. I will always say it's public schools, regardless of where your children are going to school, public schools make for stronger communities, and people want that.
No doubt about it. To what extent were the FAIR MAPS and the FAIR MAPS movement at play here in the gains that the Democrats made?
Oh, absolutely. The new maps played a huge role in making sure that we were able to compete in competitive seats, that we had Democrats, both in safe districts and more competitive districts, actually campaigning and competing with Republicans who had to go back to the communities and say they were going to do something about what was going on, the struggles that folks are feeling. And so fair maps took us out of this, complacency where representatives, Democrat or Republican, have to actually answer to their communities. And so we saw a completely different campaign landscape when you have folks who actually have to listen to people.
And will this make a difference in the Capitol? Because I know when I was there, when they had the vast majority of power there, they were so arrogant. The Republicans were so disdainful, so dismissive of Democrats, even their colleagues on, committees with them. They just kind of laughed everybody off. Do you think it's going to change the culture in there?
Absolutely. I think that we will not be forced into taking having to pick between two evils, what's worse for our communities and what's going to be worse. Instead, there will be opportunities for compromise, because Republicans are going to have to go back to their communities with some tangible good in order to be able to campaign again. And so the elimination of complacency is what I'm looking forward to, and actually talking about policies that are going to improve lives and building back that trust that government is a force of good and can be used for good. And that's what we need to get all Wisconsinites back to, so we can have a democracy that works for everyone.
I just want to give a shout out, one, for anyone that's listening that may not know, Rep Hong is a dear friend of mine. And it's people like her and her leadership to be able to crisscross the state in this election season and have those conversations. Like, she's just not knocking doors for herself. In fact, I almost forgot she was on the ballot herself, because she's, helping other Democrats across the state get elected as well. And I think that that should be an example of how we continue to show up in this moment, by listening to each other, by talking to folks, by maybe even going to places that you don't live and engaging and understanding that we're far more alike than we are divided. And I think I just wanted to name that it's through people like Rep Hong and others that are adamant about kind of not always playing this traditional game of politics, of how we get elected, but actually bringing humanity back to politics. I think a lot of us got in this work because we want to make a change for folks, because we love the humanity in others. But sometimes we lose that along the way. And I think Rep Hong is a reminder of how we continue to bring people together, but also to build that bridge. And it feels so distant, especially right now. But I think, again, that's an example of how we need to continue to show up moving forward.
And congratulations, Rep Hong, on your reelection too. It does seem to just kind of, we take it for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. So congratulations.
I'll say that I was very excited to see so many colleagues of mine who are in safe Democratic seats knock thousands of doors, some who still had more competitive races knock hundreds of doors for folks who were in the most competitive races, and to see this collective, this shift to collaboration and making sure that we are lifting everyone up, because we are the Democrats have to be the party that's for all people. We exemplified that with how we campaigned this past cycle.
Well, Francesca Hong, thanks for being on the show with us. It's been great having you and having your perspective. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting with Angela Lang of Block, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you for this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to get some last-second thoughts out there on the air, give us a holler at 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Angela Lang, who's been kind enough to co-host with me today, and I always enjoy it when she does. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Wow, what a show, Angela.
Yeah. I just want to say, as always, I'm always grateful anytime you ask me to co-host with you, but especially today, I didn't know how it would go, but I knew it was one of those things that personally, just sharing space and being able to be real and talk about our feelings and reflect as full people, I think is important. So thanks for that. And like I said, and I will always keep saying, as long as my schedule allows, when you send that email, I'm there. I really enjoy these conversations with you,
Matt. Yeah, you're quite welcome, and it's so comforting to have you here and your presence. You know, every time I co-host with you, my friends and family members say, that Angela Lang, she's terrific. So that's reassuring. Yeah, I'm not sure what the best way to kind of come to a close today other than just to try to tell people again just to be easy on yourselves, those of us who've thrown ourselves into this effort, and the listeners here at Civic Media. My hat's off to Civic Media, too. Yeah. I do think Civic Media is playing a crucial role in trying to respond with civil dialogue, even with people who disagree with us all across the state. Also to counter the barrage of right-wing propaganda that people have been getting on the radio airwaves here in this state for years and years, right-wing radio that brought us Scott Walker and helped bring us Donald Trump, frankly. Yeah. That right-wing media infrastructure was no accident. This was the brainchild of the billionaire right-wing Koch brothers and others like them and right-wing foundations like the Bradley Foundation. They set up the institutions. They got the guests on the airwaves. They bought the airwaves. And it's just been, you know, look at Rupert Murdoch and Fox. I mean, these folks knew what they were doing. And it wasn't something that happened this election cycle. It wasn't something that happened this year, last year. It's been a 5 or 6 decade clever plan by the far right on how to gain power.
Yep.
And you know, they're popping the champagne bottles today because their plan worked. And for too long, folks with means on the left, including folks in Hollywood and folks in industry, or folks who made it the old-fashioned way by inheriting it, you know, they did not invest in a progressive media structure. And we're paying the price for it right now. We're paying the price for it. And civic media, God bless civic media, they're trying to counter it. And they're trying to counter it in an organic way here locally, unlike what happened with Air America. You know, Air America tried a national thing and just have national folks and not be connected to community. We're connected to community here. We're trying to connect to community here on civic media with stations all across the state and with local hosts for much of the day. And I just think it's gratifying. I know whenever I'm in my car, I'm listening to civic media. And it's so refreshing because you could drive around Wisconsin, as I did when I was executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and just, you know, I'm trying to stay awake because I'm driving home and it's late. And I'm just scanning, you know, I'm just scanning as a way to stay awake. And it's just right-wing radio, right-wing religious radio, sports talk, or top 40 or oldies. That's all there was. And there was no way to find intelligent political conversation on your dial. I mean, there is NPR in Wisconsin Public Radio. Sometimes it's valuable. Sometimes I find it less than valuable. But there was no place for this local political dialogue to go on. And one thing we've learned, you know, we've learned it from Kathy Kramer about the, you know, the politics of resentment. People want to talk. People want to be listened to. People want to be respected. People want to be heard. And they don't want to be dismissed as trash, as Joe Biden called them so foolishly at the end. And Kamala Harris must have just gasped when she heard that because it was so counter to the messaging that she was trying to bring forward. But we do need to engage with our fellow citizens who aren't dangerous right wingers, but voted for Trump because they think the economy may be better under Trump. I mean, I think we've got to reconcile ourselves to that at some point.
I think we have one. Do we still have one more call that we can take?
Sure.
Well, there was one.
We did have a caller. The caller hung up. Let me see.
Got it. Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Yeah, I just want to thank the callers who have called. I want to thank Angela Lang, of course. I want to thank
Brett. We have one on the line right now. Yeah, 30 seconds.
Sam Liebert, let's take this call.
Yeah, hi, Matt and company. This is Angela. Great show. I did want to counter, and I'll just throw this out. I disagree that there weren't remarks made that pertain to people in lower income and middle class. For working families, when the proposal was to have a $6,000 tax credit for birth of a child, $25,000 tax credit to help you buy a house, $50,000 to help you start a new business. I've never heard of that before. And, you know, I come from low income and now middle income. I would have loved to have had something like that. And I feel that when Representative Hong said that there wasn't, the Dems didn't do a lot on the subject of mental health. Tammy has led the way on mental health, particularly with suicide lines and with help for farmers who are having problems with mental health, depression, et cetera. I just think that my personal opinion is that part of the reason, the biggest reason why Kamala Harris had problems was because this is still an incredibly sexist country. And I don't know, I think I'm going to have to be 120 before we're going to see a woman president. That's my two thoughts.
Oh, I hear you, Joe. It was a big part, remains a big part. And that glass ceiling seems reinforced by steel bars right now, unfortunately. Thanks for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild saying goodbye, thanking Cardi in the booth. And stay tuned for the Dom Salvia Show. And have a nice weekend. Take care of yourselves.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we explore the career of the great John Candy. And it's a bar band Friday night, so our friend and Max Inc. radio host, Terry Barr, drops by with new music and fun conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.